Okay, we're going to reconvene back into open session. Mr. Crawford, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Please rise.
Okay, I have two announcements of action taken in closed session. The first one is by unanimous vote, the board approved resolution 2012-13/24 release, non-reelection of temporary, including probationary zero certificated employees. And secondly, by unanimous vote, the board approved resolution 2012-13/25, non-reelection of probationary certificated employees. At this time, we'll hand it over to Tamara Gresham, our representative to the board, student representative to the board.
School board report from Lyndhurst High School. Sweetheart Week from February 12th to February 15th went great. The wrestling tournament was good. There were many people. Leadership is currently planning Battle of the Sexes rally. There will be a President's Council meeting on February 28th, and all class and clubs are currently discussing what to sell on Food Day in March.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to ask the board to step down front for our recognitions.
I'd like to invite Principal Jimmy Yeagers to come and make his presentations.
Okay, we are going to start off today with our A-plus school community partner. The partner that we have chosen is a partner that has recently come to us and has been helping us and has made donations that has helped our reading program, that has helped our awards program, and has really come on strong at our school and has really started to donate, and we really wanted to recognize him today. So our A-plus community partner is Denny's, and I have Mrs. Allen. And I don't believe she's here today, but we do have Denny's, and we will be presenting it to her when we have an opportunity.
When
I go to breakfast, yes. And we'll go ahead and go with, I have another, the next one is going to be our A-plus partner for our classified position. That person is unable to be here, but I am going to announce her. She was out with a family member ill. But we're going to talk about Jan Cook really fast. She has done an absolutely wonderful job. And since she's not here, I'm not going to go into too many details, but our office staff said, I did have to say this, that she is the best cookie in the world. So I have a witness to that. You can. Our member who is here, Mr. Dan Pingle. Mr. Pingle has been with our school a great number of years, and he has done just amazing things over the years. And quite honestly, while this is for this year, this is an honor that could go to him for all of the service that he has done for all of the years he has been at Olivehurst. If you walk onto Olivehurst campus, you will know that Dan Pingle is there. If you've ever been to a morning in the garden, you will know that his presence is there. If you've ever come to Ookie Spooky Night and you look at all the decorations around, Mr. Pingle has a hand in it. And not only does he have a hand in bringing materials, supplies, and his heart, he is always there to set up. He is the last one there cleaning up. If you ask Mr. Pingle, can you help me with this? He is the first person to volunteer. This is the man who has done more duty for everybody on the staff since I've been there in 6 years. And he will take it from anybody. If you need something, you can go to Dan. I have a long list of things that he's done, but I can't say enough about the person that he is, the model that he shows our children. He does a tremendous job in the program that he runs and the classroom he runs. He volunteers. We had somebody who's been out for 2.5 months. He steps up and says, I can take their position until they get back. This is the type of person that we are honoring tonight. I can't say enough, and since everybody here knows me and knows how long I can talk, I'm going to try to keep it brief. You know, I want to say, in my 6 years here, Dan has always run the spelling bee. He is just a man who steps up for everything, anytime we need something. Dan, it is an honor to work with you, and it is an honor to give you this award. Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to our school report from Oliver's Elementary.
Thank you for having us here tonight to honor our school and to give you just an idea of what we're doing at Oliver's Elementary. I would like to say that we are kind of in a transition at Oliver's Elementary. We have a ton of new faces. And one of the things I'm going to do is give you an idea of those faces in just a minute with a PowerPoint presentation. But I do want to kind of give you some names to go with it. We have 8 new teachers, a new office staff member, a new psychologist. So there's been a big change at Oliver's compared to last year when you saw us here. The teachers' names that go with it, Jody Chisler, Ann Hartman, Perry Sutherland, Heather Kelly, Sarah Rands, Heather Burkham, Robin Lynn. These are just some of the people who are coming in. Coco Harrison, Penny Rogers is a psychologist. We have a lot of new people that we're really excited about being there. We did have one member retire at the end of January, and that's Herb Wolf, and so we will definitely be missing him. So when we get a chance to go through these slides, you're going to get a chance to see some of the people who are there and involved in our school. You're going to see some of the community members who are involved in our school, some of the activities, and then I will talk about them afterwards. So sound's not working. I'm sorry. It was working 10 minutes before you walked in the door. No, we actually checked it.
Ooh. dripping drops high above the chimney top. That's where you find me. Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, and the dream that you dare to. Oh, why can't I? Wake up with the clouds up far behind. We will travel melts like a lemon drops high above the chimney top. That's where you find me.
First Elementary is a great school. It was a wonderful school to take over 6 years ago. 6 years later, we find ourselves with a far different staff, but just absolutely wonderful people. Most of you have that printout in front of you, but I would like to say we have 550 students, of which we've now tracked over 170 of them are inter-district transfers. So they are kids who want to be at our school with parents who want to be there. So we're very fortunate in that regard. We are very lucky to say that we have all of these new teachers that I did talk to you about, and hopefully you did get to see the pictures of them. We have over 200 EL students who work with us, and we have a great EL program. Jan Cook, the person who wasn't here tonight, is our EL coordinator who does a fantastic job, and we were actually going to honor her tonight. We're very lucky. We started an RTI program where every student, first through sixth grade, is in a small group every morning from 8:30 to 9:05. So they are getting instruction at their level. So we've made a lot of progress in our school towards our academics. We have a lot of new people who are helping out. And we feel very confident in what we're doing with our students. We're also very lucky because our wonderful board passed passed that we get 8 new classrooms. And we are very fortunate to say that they are coming on, hopefully, for next year. And we are looking forward to it and getting rid of several portables. And I will say this, I had 3 people today ask me, when are they going to be done? They're very excited. And so we would like to thank you and honor you. We did show some pictures up there of the construction because we are very lucky and blessed to have those classrooms. We're very fortunate. Also, we have a huge community backing. I don't know if you got long enough to see the slide, but we have several members. You've seen it. Rite Aid has helped us out. Denny's, Video Express, Umpqua Bank. And I will say that Linda Lyons shows up every year with every event that we have to help us out. We are very fortunate. We had over 500 people come to our back-to-school night, and it was estimated by several people that we had over 1,200 people at our Ookie Spooky night. It's a great place. Our community is very involved in what we do there. It's a fantastic school, and I would invite all of you to come out and see what our community is doing, what our school is doing in our community. There are basketball practices. There are times that our school is used up until 8 o'clock at night. We are very fortunate to be in the area that we are. I promised that I would be brief because I do talk quite a bit, and I will not read to you everything that is on that report. So what I'm going to do right now is turn over if there are any questions or comments you would like to make. I'm going to go ahead and leave that to you.
Yeah, I think it's turned into quite a community school. Like you said, Ookie Spooky Night was a good example. There were a lot of people there. and it was fantastic. So I congratulate you on that, getting the community involved.
Thank you.
That was really neat. In reading your paper there, all the community involvement, and it's so nice to see all these organizations and businesses involved in the school and recognized.
As a member of the Linda Lions Club, one of the schools they really enjoy going is Oliver's, and we've got people that come out at dinner 80s, and when they hear that we're going to go to Oliver's, they say, we want to go there. And so they really enjoy going over to your school.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? No? Okay. Mr. Eggers, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Comments from board members? Mr. Danable? Mr. Crawford?
None at this time.
Mr. Miller? Mr. Rex?
Yesterday I had the opportunity of attending at the Yuba County Charter School a presentation by group of teachers and staff that work with infant through toddler education. And these are kids, some of them are autistic, handicapped in different ways, or deaf, blind. And I have to say that these people are immensely talented to be able to work with these kids. And I had a chance to listen to some of their successes, and it was really a very touching presentation. Nice to know that kids from the earliest infant can receive help and be integrated into the school system. A lot of kids who start out in a bad way or bad situation, by the time they're 5 years old, they can be in school and doing just as well as they could possibly be. And I can talk a lot too, but I'll just stop there.
Mr. Fleury? Mr. Harris? Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Good evening. I have very little to say, no presentation. I just wanted to let the board know, have a little update, that we are very grateful to Mr. Carrion and the board and however all that went, that clarified we understand that we are not the only people losing our retirement incentive, that the bar date has been set for everybody that had one, which is fair. And the other piece is I don't have a vote tally for you yet because the votes aren't due until the 28th. So on Thursday we'll be counting those votes and we'll let you know how it goes. That's it. Unless anybody had questions for me.
Any questions? No, thank you, Inga.
Thanks.
Okay. Operating Engineers Local Union 3, California School Employees Association 326-648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees Supervisory Unit. Public comments. I have three public comment cards, but two of them are for a specific agenda item, so I'll wait on those two till we get to that item. One of them is marked for public comment section. This is Sandra Kitchens. If you could please come up to the mic.
I came tonight to talk about the administration compensation that's on the board packet tonight on the agenda, and I was kind of disappointed to see that. It was heartening to see that it had been voted down last board meeting. Just that much of a pay increase in this area just seems a little outlandish. To go where it's not like we're in a big metropolitan area where everything costs a lot. We're in a small city, and it just seems that was a lot of it's going to be a lot of money per year for someone in just when we're not sure with budgets or anything still. Until things are passed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Superintendent's report, Dr. Todd.
Thank you very much. Inga has helped me with one of my items, which was to update the board on tentative agreements. But let me go through the rest of the bargaining units. CSEA 648 has ratified their agreement with a 3.8% increase going to their salary schedules. The board approved that at the last meeting. CSEA 326 is in the ratification process, and they are going to have their 3.8 increase to be added again to their salary schedule, and that's pending board approval tonight. That's on our agenda. OE3 will soon commence its ratification process. Their 3.8% increase is slated to be added to their salary schedules, once again, pending board approval tonight. AMACE has ratified their agreement with the 3.8 increase to their salary schedule, and the board did approve that last meeting. MUTA is moving through the ratification process, and as Inga said, we'll be counting votes on Thursday. With their 3.8, the current TA states that $100 or a collective 1.8% will be added to the increase of their health benefits cap, and 2% will go to increase their salary schedules, and that was approved by the board last meeting. Supervisors reached their tentative agreement on the 25th and has ratified their agreement with a 3.8% increase to their salary schedules, and it will be placed on the March 12th. Board agenda for your approval. And then I have two very quick items. The Yuba County Office of Education is hosting an upcoming seminar in conjunction with Kingsley Bogard Law Firm. It's called the California Voting Rights Act, What You Need to Know. So I'm going to pass those. It will be held on March 20th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Yuba County Charter School. And if you are interested in attending, if you could let me know so we can reserve space, we need to know by the 15th of March. And then finally, I have the latest updated schedule for the open house activities that will be happening at all of our school sites throughout the spring. And that's all I have this evening.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Todd. Move on to approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of February 12th, 2013. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Consent agenda. Does anybody want anything pulled off the consent agenda?
Under educational services, number one, with MOU with College Board, I'd like to have some discussion about that.
Okay, does anybody want anything else pulled?
Personnel services, classified employment.
So personnel services number two?
Yes.
Okay, does anybody want anything else pulled? If not, is there a motion?
Move to approve the consent agenda with the items accepted that were
wrong. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Miller. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. We'll go back to educational services number one. Mr. Rex.
One of the things I've looked at this a little bit, and I couldn't figure out what the College Board was. And then in the back it said that there are a company, a New York not-for-profit corporation, that are offering these AP training for teachers. And it also quotes Senate Bill 532. I wasn't aware that we had any specific requirement for teaching AP classes if the person was qualified. Can somebody, you know, bring me up to date on that? Is there something new on that?
There are specific to the ability or the permission, if you will, to teach those AP classes. You have to understand the process as an educator. Obviously, a credential makes you qualified, but you have to understand the process and you have to be familiar with what the students will then have to undergo in order to receive proper credit as having after having completed the advanced placement classes. So it's more of an orientation and a tutorial process for those teachers to become familiar with the process and ensuring that they can communicate that information to students so that they meet deadlines and are well-versed in whether or not and how they can get credit as they move on to the college level.
I know this is supported by the high schools. I really hope this won't have an impact on some of the electives that other students need to take in order to get a diploma.
Well, having met with Mr. Cena, we certainly discussed the inclusion of two more AP courses. Five is a minimum for high schools, so they are anxious to bring on two more courses. And this will be within the social studies, language arts, the sciences, so this would count as one of their core classes. It just allows students to take a class that's a little more rigorous and meets the standards as set forth for receiving college credit if they pass the exam with a certain percentage. And as a high school teacher, I know you know all that, but not everyone does. So.
I also know how difficult it is to pass those tests, the AP tests at the end. And they usually charge them. I think they charge to take them. But I know that Marysville is excited about being able to add the courses.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, educational services, number one, under the consent agenda, is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Rex. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes. Okay, personnel services number two under the consent agenda. Mr. Miller?
I noticed that after school program support specialists, we have a number of those. Is that a grant program or... And is it new positions?
They are new positions, which the board approved in January, and the job description came before the board. It's part of the after-school program, which is a legislation that's in place. And so that funding, albeit part of the general fund, it's still a specific pot of money set aside for after-school funding and after-school programs, which, again, is part of a legislative act, and those funds could be specifically used only for the after-school program.
Does that add to the STARS?
That is the STARS program.
The STARS
correct.
Program, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, personnel services number two under the consent agenda. Is there a motion?
I'll move to approve.
Motion by Mr. Rex. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Harris. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? One Mr. Miller opposes. Six yes, one opposed. Okay, under new business, Board of Trustees, Administrator Compensation, the purpose of this item is for the board to reconsider its three votes on 2-12-13 that failed to approve a salary increase for the superintendent, assistant superintendent of personnel services, and assistant superintendent of business services, which was the same salary increase approved by the board for AMACE, which is the Association of Management and Confidential Employees. And Mr. Bob Kingsley is with us tonight to help discuss the item. He is the legal counsel to the Board of Trustees.
Mr. President, members of the board, my name is Bob Kingsley. I'm from the legal firm of Kingsley Bogard. We have had the privilege of representing the district since the early 1980s. It's good to see you again this evening. As President Boom indicates, he has asked me to present the first two items that appear on your agenda under Board of Trustees. The first item is one that is akin to a parliamentary action, if you will. It is a motion to reconsider an earlier vote of the board. The second item is more routine in nature, and it takes action to approve an item. In order to understand those two, it may be helpful for me to give you a little history and a little background that will put it in context. The superintendent and the two assistant superintendents are employed pursuant to individual contracts of employment. This board, back in July of 2012, entered into new four-year contracts with each of them, and each of those contracts includes this language, and I'll paraphrase it a little bit for you. It says that annually their compensation will be adjusted by the same percentage, increase or decrease, so up or down, that is granted to cabinet members and management employees of the district. Back on February 12th, the board was presented with a series of items to approve compensation increases for employees. And as has been commented on by virtue of the ratification votes that are taking place, all of those compensation increases were approved by the board, except the compensation increase for the superintendent and the two assistant superintendents. The contractual provision that exists for each of them would indicate to me that when the pay increase for AMACE was approved, then the same compensation increase was to be tendered to the superintendent and assistant superintendents. The motion that is before you in number one is for the board to have the opportunity to reconsider its prior vote. It is purely a matter that is within the board's jurisdiction, but it is an opportunity to consider the vote and to consider conforming that action to what's in the employment contracts. That motion is to be made by one of the individuals who voted in the majority last time, which would be one who voted in the nay for that pay increase. If that motion is made, it may be seconded by any person on the board, and it is voted on by the entire board. If the motion to reconsider passes, then you would move to item number two, and that is a straightforward motion to approve and is voted on, seconded and voted on in the normal fashion. If item number one fails, item number two is moot and no action is taken by the board. Any questions for me?
As I understand it, what you're saying is there's a significant consideration for breach of contract should we not reconsider this vote, and it could involve litigation.
Typically, us lawyers don't like to talk about such things in open session, but I think the answer to that is yes. Anytime you have a disconnect between a board action and a written contract, there is the potential for litigation. This is not a new provision. I don't know whether I mentioned it before. The provision that's in there that ties the compensation for the superintendent and assistant superintendents is not something that was inserted into the contract new in 2012. It existed before that point in time as well and was simply carried over into the new four-year contracts.
Okay, Mr. Kingsley, I also have a couple public comment cards that wish to address this item, so I'm going to ask them to come up to the mic at this time. We'll start with John Riddle.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I understand that this is not a Q&A type session. It is simply a comment session. Is that correct? Thank you. Allow me then to just say what I need to say. I'm not sure if the board has done some sort of comparative salary survey or study of school districts around the country, around the state, and or the six or seven counties surrounding this one. Los Angeles Unified School District has 1,600,000 students. The director of that district makes $330,000 a year with 1,600,000 students. Marysville Joint Unified School District has just under 10,000 students. And the top position there pays $200,000 if this pay raise goes through. I'm simply questioning the wisdom in placing Marysville Joint Unified School District in the top 1% of the country based on student enrollment. Perhaps a comparative study should be enjoyed. Thank you.
Yeah, this is actually under a specific agenda item, so if you do have questions, you can ask them. It's not under public comments. Okay, Mr. Pummel.
I think you wanted to ask some questions.
If you want to.
Oh, excuse me.
Members of the board and superintendents, it's been 3.5 years since I've been to a board meeting. My last year of tenure with the district, after 25 years of service, I was sick the entire year. And on a personal note, I really appreciate the salary protector, the sick leave bank, and now I really appreciate having the early retirement incentive and being able to work with schools in our district to earn my health insurance. And now that my wife's on Medicare, that only costs me $450 a month instead of $900-some a month. So I appreciate those things. I was on the district bargaining team back when we had interspace bargaining and then when it became more adversarial. And like the speaker before me, I have some concerns. Even though I live in Yuba City now, we do get the Appeal Democrat over there. And I saw this front page item from the meeting 2 weeks ago. Dr. Todd and I go way back. And I respect and admire all of you that you have dedicated yourselves to public service. What Gay makes right now is more than Jerry Brown makes. Jerry Brown makes $165,288 a year, and Dr. Todd currently makes $196,059, if my figures are right, plus benefits. With the 3.8% increase, and I understand there may be a contractual obligation that you as the board have to go ahead and do that tonight, it will make it to where, Gay, you'll earn $38,000 more than Jerry Brown does. I think that it's within the realm of possibility, and it would be a huge thing if our superintendent and our two assistant superintendents declined their raises. Maybe follow Jerry Brown's lead and take a 5% cut voluntarily. I don't know, but that might be legal. Our district here has about 9,000 students, has 420 teachers plus 11 speech language teachers. Compared to other districts, Gay's salary is toward the top. Sandra Kitchen talked about how that we live in an area that's poor. The cost of living here is less than it is in many other areas in California, even in Northern California. 5 years ago, Dr. Todd made $168,000, still more than Jerry Brown makes today, 5 years ago, and Romero made $156,450, and Mark Allgaier, $149,000. I don't know how we can compare to LA Unified. I don't know if all my figures are perfectly right, but I've got some reliable sources. You can't compare a district of 1.6 million, but LA Unified, it costs 50 cents per student to employ their superintendent. Fresno, with 66,000 plus, it costs $4 per student to employ their superintendent. San Francisco, $6 per student. And then we get closer to home. Chico costs $15 per student to employ their superintendent. Yuba City, $16 per student, and based on Gay's current salary, costs us $22 per student to employ our superintendent. If those statistics are even close to correct, I think something different should happen. And I suggest to the three of you, decline your raises.
Any other questions, comments? Any questions of Mr. Kingsley?
That's very interesting. In order to decline it, we'd have to grant it first. So that's two different items on the agenda. It's a interesting thing too. I mean, when you look at dollars and cents, and you say, okay, that teachers in Louisiana make $22,000 a year on average, and then you say in Marysville we have teachers making $90,000 a year. Well, that's a little different too. But living in California also is a little different, you know, than other parts of the country. What we're dealing with here is a contract obligation and future litigation. So I can understand if the superintendent or superintendents declined a raise, but I think we have to live up to our obligation in granting it.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, then I'll take a motion on Board of Trustees number 1, Administrator Compensation. Okay, is there a motion? The motion, according to Robert's Rules of Order, has to be made by one of the four who voted with the prevailing side last time.
I have a question of legal counsel. If it's not appropriate this time, let me know. But if we were to enter into a legal struggle, it's an improper question. It's I have a dilemma here. As a board member, as a man, I'd like to be a man of my word. When we got together with the three bargaining, or the three individuals, or in late July, I focused on a package which I thought was very nice, and then subsequently defended our actions and our behavior. And I stood up to that, and I will honestly say because it had been so long since this district had received any raise, I wasn't aware that the provision that they automatically received anything that the teachers and the other administrators and classified received, they would automatically. How long has that been in effect, sir? Do you know?
I can't tell you precisely, but from the documents that I've looked at, it pre-existed the new contract that the board entered into in 2012. So it had existed for at least, I would guess, 2 or 3 years before that. But that is a guess. I do not know that precisely.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, no other questions? Okay, I'll ask for a motion again on Board of Trustees number 1, Administrator Compensation. Is there a motion? The item dies for lack of a motion, so we'll move on to, so number 2 is null and void, so we'll move on to Personnel Services number 1, tentative agreement with
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Kingsley.
Thank you.
Tentative agreement with CSEA 326. Mr. Carrion.
Yes, good evening, and thank you. The purpose of this particular agenda item is to consider approval of this tentative agreement with the California School Employees Association Local Chapter 326. The total compensation package calls for a 3.8% increase to CSCA 326 represented employees, and we recommend that the board approve this tentative agreement.
Any questions?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Miller? Six yes, one no. Mr. Miller? Okay, Personnel Services number two, tentative agreement with OE3. Mr. Carrion?
Yes, thank you again. In similar fashion, the tentative agreement entered into with the Operating Engineers Local Union number three calls for a total compensation package of a 3.8% increase to OE3 represented salary ranges. It also calls for a $150 annual safety shoe allowance for custodians. That $150 shoe allowance, what we affectionately call a shoe allowance, has currently been given to maintenance employees and also mechanics, and is now being extended to the custodial maintenance classifications. We recommend the board approve this tentative agreement with Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3.
Any questions?
Yes. Do we already have an agreement with Operating Engineers?
Excuse me, one more time, please.
Do we already have an agreement with Operating Engineers?
We have an agreement that ends effective the close of the current school year, as entered into as a result of the 1.64% off-scheduled payment. And this would extend the contract beyond the current school year.
Any other questions? Is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Crawford, second by Mr. Danable. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? One, Mr. Miller opposes. And abstentions. One, Mr. Harris abstains. Personnel Services number three. This is resolution 2012-13-26. Mr. Carrion.
Yes, thank you. This particular resolution calls for consideration for the classified particular kinds of service that will be eliminated effective the end of the current school year 2012-13 for the 2013-14 school year. I might emphasize that those items that are being considered for elimination are precautionary in nature and currently funded by school site funds. These are not, while they are part of the district's total general fund, they are restricted dollars allocated to the school sites as part of formulas and total amounts derived by student enrollments. And so the school sites, in a precautionary nature, are taking steps to ensure that their funding gaps for next year are sufficient before making a commitment to these employees. It's my understanding that the service is obviously needed, and the schools would like to have the service back and will make every effort to find the dollars in order to bring back the service. In some cases, the service is being eliminated as a result of carryover funds that were granted to the sites at mid-year, and those funds are not expected because, again, they were carryover funds and or additional allocations. But for the most part, the sites will continue to look for additional funding streams in order to return the service, and if and when that happens, those layoff notices will be rescinded. Through this process, there is now a 60-day requirement to notify classified employees, and so if approved, this would give us sufficient time to notify those employees of the elimination of particular positions and how they might be affected. And I recommend that the board approve this resolution. Are there any questions?
Yes, I have a question regarding literacy resource techs. Those are our librarians, is that correct?
They're the library clerks, correct.
Thank you. The Ed Code states that the board shall be sure that all libraries are open at each school. Not the principals, not the superintendents, the board. And we shall see that they're open. Not we can, not we might, but we shall. Then why are they included in this giving notice to the librarians?
They're included because at this particular time, the funding stream, albeit part of the district's general fund, are restricted dollars specifically allocated to the sites. They, through the advisory votes of the school site council, determine the level of service that those restricted dollars will buy. Those restricted dollars will be reduced or may be reduced. We anticipate a reduction in Title I funding, and depending on what action the legislature takes throughout the summer, we anticipate perhaps a reduction in other funds and other categorical programs that may reduce the total allocation to the school sites. If that is the case, we want to ensure that we've taken the precautionary steps to notify these employees correctly in accordance to law. If that isn't necessary, then of course the employees' layoff notifications will be rescinded at the earliest opportunity to ensure that they have return rights back to their positions.
But it's not up to the site council, it's not up to the principal. It is up to the board. It says the board shall. It doesn't say the board can, the board might, maybe, or anything else. It said the board shall be sure that the libraries are open for the students and staff.
I'm not disputing that at all. What I'm clearly trying to explain to the board that they're currently funded with restricted dollars that may or may not be there in their current totality to continue to fund the employees. If the district determines through priority spending of another source, then of course in the same manner those layoff notices will be rescinded to those employees. Again, it's out of an abundance of caution to notify the employees through their statutory rights to receive a 60-day notice, and this would allow us both ethically and legally to provide that notice and then determine whether or not a different funding source for those positions will be determined.
Any other questions?
What exactly is the elementary student support? Is that outreach?
That's outreach of a different, by a different name, perhaps, yes. Just fewer duties and different authorizations, if you will. But yes, in a nutshell, it's similar to the outreach.
Mr. Kieran, there's no unrestricted general fund positions affected by this?
There are no unrestricted general fund positions that contribute to this PKS resolution.
Any other questions? Is there a motion?
I'll move to approve.
Motion by Mr. Rex. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Harris. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Two. Mr. Miller, Mr. Danable opposed. Personnel Services, number four. Mr. Kieran.
Yes. Resolution number 2012-13/27 speaks to the reduction in certificated staff due to reduction or elimination of particular kinds of service. Again, in similar fashion, it is because restricted dollars appropriated and allocated to the school sites anticipate a funding shortfall in order to continue to have the service. And so to the extent that either grants, categorical funds, and or other federal dollars are anticipated to be less, the precautionary steps are being taken to eliminate the service. If other funding streams are available, then as soon as that becomes known, the employees may have an opportunity to have their layoff notices rescinded. At this particular time, they are restricted dollars that are supporting these classified, or excuse me, these certificated positions. And we recommend that the board approve this resolution out of an abundance of caution to ensure that we properly notify these employees by the March 15th statutory required deadline.
Any questions? Any questions? No comments? Okay, is there a motion?
I'll move to approve.
Motion by Mr. Rex. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Two opposed. Mr. Miller and Mr. Crawford oppose. Business services, number one. Mr. Allgaier.
Thank you. Good evening. Actually, Amber Watson, our Director of Child Nutrition, is here this evening for this item. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the board. Mr. Allgaier has asked me to give a little background on this resolution. Or both these resolutions. We did a little research, and it's been a few years since something like this has come to the board for approval. So I just want to share a few words about it. National Nutrition Month is a month focused on healthy eating and nutrition. It's put on and supported by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. That's an association that I'm a member of, and it supports the professionals of dietetics. And the theme this year is Eat Right Your Way Every Day, and it's a reminder for our students and employees to use basics and healthy eating and enjoy their foods that they love every day by combining them with a balanced, healthy lifestyle. I have working with my staff to promote some tabling activities at possibly our high schools and our middle schools to outreach to the students. At brunch time and lunch time activities, we'll put some marketing up in our cafeterias as well as our website. The second resolution is for National School Breakfast Week. This one is supported by the School Nutrition Association, which is an association for school nutrition professionals, which I'm also a member of. And annually is the National School Breakfast Week. This week it's March 3rd through the 8th, and it's a week-long focus to remind students to eat healthy breakfast, start their day with a breakfast. And this year to celebrate, we're giving away some freebies during breakfast for the kids that get a lucky sticker on their tray. We're giving away pencils. We're also doing a breakfast for lunch themed meal at lunchtime to kind of help promote that. We have some marketing things that we're posting up at our cafeterias, and we hope to get some excitement with our kids with some prizes. Are there any questions that I can answer?
Any questions or comments? No questions or comments. Is there a motion?
I'd like to make that motion.
Motion by Mr. Crawford, second by Mr. Danable, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, 7 yes. That's the last item on the agenda, so the meeting's adjourned.